For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is your take on Washington coach Dan Quinn calling rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels week to week with a rib injury, saying the team is hopeful he'll play against the Bears? What is Washington doing? Is it the smart thing to do? Anything promising?
I got to be honest with you. I thought that week to week implied immediately that he was not going to be available for the Bears game. Day-to-day means we're fighting through the week to try to get there. Week-to-week is he could be out for 2 or 3 weeks. That's what week-to-week means in my world. So I was surprised that Dan Quinn said that, frankly. I wonder how things will, if that designation will change or how things will change Wednesday, Thursday, whenever we get a final word. I am at this point thinking that that he's not going to play on Sunday, that the Bears kind of dodged a bullet with the guy, or maybe not. Maybe they really should be playing him and really challenge themselves, but I don't think he's going to play in the game when you call a guy week to week. Week to week implies a longer period of time than day to day. Again, it's probably semantics, and I don't know enough about Quinn to read into that, but I think that what he said was that they were hopeful that he could get back for the game, but he also said that they were going to be smart about it, which implies he's not playing. So I think two of the three things he was saying implied the guy's not ready to play on Sunday.
It screams gamesmanship to me. There's no rush. They don't have to say anything. He's going to pop on that injury report on Wednesday, as you pointed out, Mully, and they'll say he was, you know, my prediction, he was limited in what he did. And this will go down right to the wire, and we may not even know at noon, right? Because when are they inactives, right? They're going to drag this thing out and make the Bears prepare for two different guys.
Maybe, but I'll say this. I thought the opposite. I don't think it's gamesmanship. I think it's tipping your hand. And I kind of agree with you, Mully. I was surprised that Dan Quinn, affable Dan Quinn, was like, oh, we're not going to take any chances. We're going to be very careful. He's week to week. If you're playing games and you're trying to mess with your opponent's strategy in terms of preparation, you're saying day to day, it's not bad. And I think that they're the best news for the NFL and for the Washington Commanders is that it doesn't seem like it's something that is a significant rib injury. But it's also something you don't want to rush back with somebody that slight and that important. Look, Washington is in the midst of a surprising season themselves. They have playoff aspirations that are real. They've got a franchise quarterback they have every responsibility to protect. They're going to protect him. I would be surprised if he plays. And that's just based on one press conference, and maybe I'm falling for it, Dustin. I don't know, but I do think that listening to NFL coaches for a long time, if they are planning to play that game, they're going practice to practice. We'll see what we have. I think they're taking the conservative view here, as they should, as I would.
Yep.
And the Bears likely are going to see Marcus Mariota, which doesn't really change how important this game is, and they should not take him lightly. He'd be making his 75th career NFL start if he does start. So I think the Commanders are leaning towards sitting Jaden Daniels and starting Marcus Mariota.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Voice of Coach Juan said he's here at 7:40 for the start of two big segments. The Bears have the toughest schedule remaining if you factor in the winning percentage of the remaining opponents. That's the downside of playing in the NFL's toughest division. Without having played a division game yet, with three games to go before the NFC North schedule starts, how prepared do you think the Bears are for this challenge?
I think that's another way of asking if your expectations about the Bears season have changed based on their 4-2 start at the bye week. Did you do self-scouting or introspection and think, okay, now I'm going to look at this season a little differently? I don't know that I am. I think that they still can have a good season, a winning record, and miss the playoffs and feel okay about it. I'm not saying that week to week we're going to abandon those ideas and never talk about the playoffs and sound like Jim Mora because it's so absurd. No, it is realistic, and they should have those kind of goals. But I don't know that they're any better equipped to handle things in the toughest division in football that because they start out 4-2 against the soft portion of their schedule. They need to take care of business in the next 3 weeks. Realistically, I think the Bears go into the teeth of their schedule having won two of the next three games. The Cardinals won't be any pushover in Arizona. Sunday will not be easy with or without Jaden Daniels. And I think you have the softies coming into Soldier Field. You take care of the Patriots and you'll be okay. But you've got to win one of those two other games before you get to the Packers. So I think 4-2 becomes 6-3, ideally. And then you take your chances in the division. You want to split in the division. I think that's almost, given how tough the division is, the best you can hope for at this point as we sit here October 22nd.
Well, I think they've got a shot to be 7-2 going into that Green Bay game. They can win all three of these games. And if health is a thing, if they can stay healthy and continue to win it, if each week, if the QB takes a step forward each week as he has so far through these games, think about how good he's going to be in a month from now, right? 3 weeks from now. Now, the tough part is when you get to that November 17th game, you've got Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, all three teams in a 10-day window. You're playing three division games, the first time you're playing those division games back to back to back in a short amount of time. That's going to be really tough.
Yeah, I mean, this is a reflection of how good the division is. So you're playing all those teams twice. So you're, of course, it's going to look like you got the hardest schedule left. They still have the Niners. Niners lost Brandon Ayuk yesterday. He had been ill, but it turns out he blew out his knee. I mean, it was like one of the more strange sort of elements that I've heard in a while. He's got to have reconstructive knee surgery. Turns out he signed a hell of a contract. You know, he held out.
Good timing.
I mean, it's incredible. So he's the big winner. They've got Seattle left on their schedule, right? I mean, listen. Here's the thing about division games. Division games, you are supposed to be very familiar with each opponent, and you're supposed to be able to win some of those games just because you are so familiar with them and you're not intimidated by them, etc. So, unfortunately, Jared Goff looks like he's the MVP of the league right now. These things change fairly dramatically as the year goes on, but right now, snapshot, he's playing as well as anybody in the league right yep. now. And that's a problem when you think about having that in front of you. You can't beat the flower.
You know him well too,
and you just haven't beat him yet at all. So that's a problem. And Minnesota, a lot better than they've looked, a lot better than you thought they might be. But they played Minnesota pretty tough. They could split with Minnesota. They could split with Detroit. I just don't know what they're going to do with the flower. If they could win that game, that would really set a shot across
the November game.
First division game
would be
if
huge.
They came out and won that
yes.
game, that would let the division
statement.
Know. Yes.
Then let's talk on that Monday
that's,
about how we've changed our thoughts.
That's exactly right.
Maybe that's something Eberflus can clear up a little bit later on today, but that's a good question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 9 a.m. How about Bears coach Matt Eberflus revealing that the safety, Jaquan Brisker, still has, quote, a couple more steps to go in concussion protocol, and that cornerback Kyler Gordon working through his hamstring injury. But cornerback Tyreek Stevenson, long snapper Scott Daly were on the field for the walkthrough on Monday at Hallis Hall.
The concussion protocol thing was very interesting because this is outside the Bears venue. There's nothing, no matter how much you want to, there are certain things that he has to do, Brisker, in order to get cleared by independent doctors and be able to play in the NFL. At least that's the idea. At least that is the plan, and that's the way the league just tried to lay it out. So I will accept what the league is saying about that. So it doesn't matter how much you want to, how much you kind of want to kind of hope a guy's right. There's nothing you can do about that one. That's a problem. It sounds as if Kyler Gordon's, if a guy's working on a hamstring injury, that means the guy's got a hamstring injury and he's going to be out with a hamstring injury. Sounds like Tyreek Stevenson is coming back. That's a good one. That is good to hear that. Let's hope that holds up through the rest of the week. As far as the long snapper is concerned, maybe that injury is not as serious. I don't really worry about that. You have signed another player and you got another guy that may come back eventually.
And you got commit.
And you got the special teams player of the year, of the week. That was funny, Komet talking about that, because he seemed to understand there'll be a lot of people miffed about it, but he'll take it. He was very good. But I just think that it's right now you're kind of two for two, and the one doesn't really matter as much. So you hope that Stevenson's better, but I wouldn't count on Brisker. It's possible, but I wouldn't count on it. And it doesn't sound like Gordon's possible.
I'm really worried about this Jaquan Brisker injury. We talked last week about possible trade scenarios that the Bears might make, and yesterday Eberflus admitted that the phone's ringing up there. They're talking to people. I think that's what they need to be. They need to be bringing in a safety. And if Jamal Adams is out there on the street for nothing, I have no idea why he's not up at Halas Hall going through some workouts and doing some interviews. Because if they don't have Brisker for the rest of this season, that's a big loss.
I think that's a little alarmist.
Yeah.
I think that we heard from Matt Eberflus. I heard from Matt Eberflus, and maybe this is coach speak, but it sounds like Jaquan Brisker is going through the proper channels and taking the necessary steps to get back on the field. And I think we also heard different story, same idea, from Tua. And players look at concussions like, I'm not saying this is right. My sense is that Jaquan Brisker is looking at this as an ankle injury, and he's coming back following protocol. He'll be back on the field when they allow him back on the field, but he's going to play the same way. I think he's going to have to change the way he plays if he wants to stay on the field long term. But nonetheless, I don't know that I'm as pessimistic as that makes it sound about Jaquan Brisker being back on the field. He could be on the road back. And Tyreek Stevenson is already back. Kylie Gordon is the iffy one. I think he's as indispensable as any player on that defense because of the variety of roles that he plays and how he's good blitzing, how he's good against the run, how he's good in coverage. He's good at everything. He needs to be back. He needs to be healthy. If he needs to take a Sunday to get healthier for the stretch run, then he should do it. I do think, Dustin, that they're pretty good at the depth at the safety position. Jamal Adams... I don't know how he fits. I don't know how he would go in a role-playing situation if he would be happy with that. I think Hicks has been okay. They got Jonathan Owens. Don't forget him. And they've got guys who can step in and play roles as they get healthier. Terrell Smith is back, too. I know there's another guy. They have depth at the position. And then after hearing Flusi yesterday, they got the best defensive secondary coaches in America. So I think that everything is going to come together. Just got to be patient and hopeful with Brisker.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
That's the voice of Billy Donovan. Set yourself a reminder, 7:25 with Mullion Hall. What are your thoughts on Talen Horton-Tucker, having claimed the Bulls' final roster spot for the 25 season? Hercules, as he's nicknamed, averaged 13 points, 2.4 boards, and 3.5 assists while shooting 40% in the preseason.
This is one of the better stories of the preseason in my book. You got a Simeon product who talked yesterday about the joy he feels in making his boyhood team, the team he cheered for growing up in Chicago, watching Derrick Rose, watching Jabari Parker, watching former Simeon stars put on the same uniform he's going to wear this year. This is a great story because he may not contribute that much. Talen Horton-Tucker might be the 15th guy on the bench, and he might have a lot of DNP CDs on his resume this season. But I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that mopes around because he does play a limited role on the Bulls team. That said, if you go to him, I think we've seen in the preseason, we also have seen this in his career, he's not going to see a shot. He hasn't met a shot he doesn't like, and he can fill it up a little bit. He can score. He'll give you 10 minutes and maybe 8 points. That's good. That's the NBA. That's what you want. So even though this end of the roster, the back end of it, the last couple guys, I like this move. It's popular with the fans. You got a guy that appreciates where he is, and he still can play.
It's a great story. Love the local guy. Made good. We really like that here. I like the nickname. It's fun. He, you know, for a guy who's like a NBA bat, he kind of appears because of his build, like he doesn't belong out there, but he gets up and down the court very well, and he puts the ball in the basket, and that's what you need when you need a little instant offense, right? I think that's what this guy can deliver in 5-6 minute chunks. He can deliver you a couple of points, so I like this move. Good for him.
Oh, it's a fantastic story, because not only is the childhood hero thing, the whole growing up here thing, it's that he earned it. THT can play, man. That guy can hoop. He's a good player, and it's fun to watch him. And he's a, you know, a young guy, and he's got a future. I like him a lot. I like that he can do so many different things, and I just like the look of him, the cut of his jib, whatever way you want to put it. I think he could be, you know, a cult figure at some point here. I love that he made this roster. Love it.
Different question on a different topic.
Mike Florio, 844, for a trip around the NFL. Do you believe the White Sox will name their manager this week before the World Series starts on Friday, given the number of candidates mentioned and the uncertainty about who has actually been interviewed? Is it unrealistic to believe the White Sox will be ready, or should they have been done by now, given the amount of time they've already had in the process?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I don't know what the delay is, other than I don't know that anybody wants the gig, right? It's not a great job. It's not one where you're going to do a lot. There's not a lot of promising talent. You understand you're going to lose 100 games going into this after creating one of the worst regular season records, the worst regular season record in the history of Major League Baseball. So, you know, if you can get somebody who's okay losing 100 games and feels like they're going to make a big enough difference, I'm not sure that I have all the faith in the world that they know what they're doing, they know what they're looking at, and they know exactly what they need to be able to prevent another 2024 season. I just don't know that I trust everyone involved in this thing, and so we tend to say, "Well, take as long as you need, take longer." But I don't know if you reach a point where there's sort of, I mean, if you're waiting on a guy and you wanna, I don't believe you should be waiting on a guy. I don't believe that there's anybody that is a better baseball man than some of the people that are out there. It's a really important job to get the right person at, to get a person that is going to be their own man, to not try to get a puppet. I think they went through that process and it failed. I think they tried to hire someone and it blew up on them. And then when they got the opportunity, they went for a guy they knew they could control. And then unfortunately, when everyone was run out, there was no one to help him and he was left to his own device and he just wasn't the guy. They hired the wrong guy. So you need the anti of what you had. And the very fact that Grady Sizemore did as well as he did just underscored how poorly situated the guy ahead of him was. And I don't want to pick on Pedro here, but they need someone that is their own man, that has their own voice, that has their own idea. I would say a guy like Buck Showalter, as disastrous that might end up being because he's a disciplinarian, I think he would teach the game and he would work on trying to bring discipline to it and he'd be his own
I'm surprised
person.
You like that idea.
I need different.
Yeah.
And I'm going for the opposite.
I think this is really interesting. And I think, Mully, you mentioned somebody's name there, Grady Sizemore, and that might be part of why they haven't acted yet, because they might be waiting on somebody that they're going to talk to that's going to knock their socks off, because I have Grady Sizemore waiting in the wings. Grady Sizemore is not getting an interview. There's only two openings, right? The Marlins and the Sox?
Right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the opening.
Reds hired Francona.
Right. And the hot candidate is the guy who walked away from the Marlins, who supposedly wouldn't want the White Sox job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now if they're waiting on a guy, then you think, well, then it's this Clayton McCullough, right? The first base coach
for
the Dodgers.
That would be conventional wisdom,
right.
Yes.
So is it down to Grady Sizemore sticking around, or we haven't had a chance yet to talk to Clayton McCullough? We've done our research, but we got to talk to the guy. We haven't been able to get him in the room yet. We haven't been able to sit down in a suite out in L.A. or, you know, meet him out in New York. Are they waiting on this guy? Because, again, there's only two openings. So who are you competing against for all these great managerial candidates?
There's no competition.
So there's no rush.
Yeah.
But I think Grady Sizemore is sitting there. What? They like the guy a little bit. Molly's not happy with my answer. What's wrong with that?
Grady Sizemore? If you conclude that that's your manager for next year, forget it, Dustin. Are you nuts?
I'm saying what I believe the Sox are up to. That's not what
I
would do.
I look at the list, though, and I am underwhelmed, as we said yesterday. And the guys with experience, I don't know that they are going to hire because they simply haven't done it yet. Buck Showalter's not exactly very busy right now. If they wanted to hire him, I think they might have. Skip Schumacher is out there. He's not taking the Marlins job. The only other one open is the White Sox that we're aware of, unless something else is about to happen. They haven't hired him yet. Why? He's a reigning National League Coach Manager of the Year. So these other names are names that every baseball executive could love. Maybe only a baseball executive could love. They're going to be difficult sells to the fan base, regardless of whether it's Clayton McCullough, Donnie Ecker, Will Venable, or Grady Sizemore. Anybody who is on that list without previous managerial experience is going to be considered a gamble, unproven gamble. They could hire somebody perhaps this week. They want to get it done before the GM meetings November 7th in Scottsdale. That's not that far away. Maybe this week with the respite between the World Series and the AL and NLCS, they can talk to these guys like a Brady McCullough and make an announcement without having a press conference until after the World Series. I'm prepared to be underwhelmed.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Resale tickets for the World Series that starts Friday between the Yankees and the Dodgers were selling for $1,350 last night. Oh, it's almost double last year's World Series. How surprised are you about that? And what is the most you would spend for a ticket to a sporting event? And what event might that be?
I'm not surprised by this. I am dying to know what the television ratings will be. The last time the Yankees played the Dodgers was 1981, as we saw. I think MTV was starting. Tom Cruise was making his first movie. It was a long time ago. And Yankees-Dodgers is as good as it gets in terms of tradition at the World Series, the Fall Classic. What would be the most? We're spoiled because we have, for years, gone to sporting events for free as part of our jobs. So I don't know that I would go north of $500 for a sporting event. And that might be for a college football game, maybe somewhere. I don't think I would do that for an NBA game. I don't think that I would do that for a golf tournament. Somebody said the Masters. I think that that's probably as high as I would go. And I would probably go, to a World Series game. If I couldn't get into a World Series game at Wrigley Field or in Chicago, I would pay at least that to get in to see. That would be the, that would be as far as I would go, probably.
500 wouldn't cover a table at Sports Corner. You know, I'm just saying, 500, it's just, unfortunately, this day and age, it's not going to get it done. You'd have to have a $500
table. I probably would watch it at home on my couch.
Okay, I'm just $1,000, you know, again.
I feel judged.
$1,000 from, $1,000 wouldn't cover what I'm going to say. I have two. The Masters on Saturday. Not Sunday, because I want to sit and watch it. I want to not miss a thing. But Saturday at Augusta, hearing all the roars and moving day there, that would be awesome. A place that maybe you guys have been that I have not been, that I've been watching on television for forever, is Cameron Indoor. A North Carolina Duke game right before the start of the ACC tournament. I think that's something to experience. Have you guys ever been there?
No.
Any desire to go there?
No.
No? Okay. Those are my two. Duke, North Carolina at Duke, or Saturday at the Masters for $1,000. Doesn't probably get me a sniff, but there it is.
Yeah, I think this is an impossible question for people like us. I mean, how many Super Bowls you been to? You know.
A lot.
A lot. I mean, I've been to, you know, 17, 18 Super Bowls. I would not pay the money for a Super Bowl regardless of who was in it. I wouldn't. I just wouldn't pay that kind of money. You know, Dustin talking about going
Hold on, though.
Go on.
You went to San Antonio to see the Ramblers.
I did.
That was expensive.
It wasn't cheap, but I went and saw the Ramblers in the Final Four. I got a
pretty, as a fan.
Yeah, but I didn't pay $1,000 for the tickets. Okay. I'm just
trying to help you out here.
I know you're trying to help, but you're trying to catch me in what I'm saying.
I'm not catching you.
What I'm saying is, Dustin, if it's $500 to get a seat at the Sports Corner, I would give the $500 so I could stay at home and watch the game in the privacy of my house. Like, I no longer seek that big experience because it's kind of a... I've been to, like, a ton of NBA Finals games. I've been to a lot of Super Bowls. I've been to a World Cup Final. Like, I was sitting here thinking, would I do it for like a World Cup game? Would I do it if I flew to England and United were playing somewhere and I had a chance to watch them? I'd probably pay a healthy amount of money if I were there and they were in town and I had a chance to go see my childhood team.
Interesting.
I would do that. But I don't know that there's many that I would say I would really want to, you know.
Game 7, Blackhawks. And whoever, Stanley Cup Final, can't get in with a press pass, I would pay.
I've seen the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, because of being a sports writer and covering all these events, I've been to the Cubs in the World Series, the Sox in the World Series. I've been to the you know, I just been to everything.
I have too, but I'd like to do it without being on deadline.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know. I mean, I think other than like an international sporting event that I traveled to go to, I can't think of one. Maybe it's hard. It's really hard. Like the Masters doesn't do that much for me. I'm befuddled. I think there are plenty of people that would play.
You're betwixt and between.
I am. And it's a tough question for me to answer.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.